All right, Small Town Sports Podcast, Episode 3. If you don't know what I'm going to talk about, if it's not obvious, well, John Tavares, baby, number 91. Oakville, Ontario, comes home to play in the royal blue and white, baby. Comes home to help lead this Leafs team to glory. Woo! All right, that's enough of fangirling for now. But, obviously, if you don't know what I'm going to talk about this episode, it's going to be about John Tavares. I'm going to go over basically the key reasons that I think pushed him towards coming home versus staying on the island or going to San Jose or Tampa or Dallas or any of the other teams that spoke with him and tried to lure him to their city. But so before I get into that, sorry for not having published another episode in a bit. I know I'm almost 2 weeks behind on this, but you know, I had to go on vacation for a week, had to go to Pelee Island and drink every day and just sit on the deck and on the cottage and not do anything. So I don't know about you, but the one thing, I find it so hard to come back from vacation and go right back to work. We came home on Friday, Thursday, the 12th, and I had to work on Saturday, and oh my God, I never thought the shift would end. It was so long, and of course the vacation took forever to get here, and flew by the whole week, and now I'm back to the grind of the workplace. So, gotta love that, gotta love vacations. God bless them, but they always end way too quickly. Anyway, let's dive in now. So, key reasons he joined the Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, obviously, number one, and if you guys didn't see, you know, his Instagram post or, you know, TSN retweeted it and all the major sports outlets, you know, would have commented on it and retweeted it, but this was his childhood dream. You know, he grew up being a Leaf fan, like I said, was born in Oakville, played AAA in Toronto, played hockey in Toronto his whole childhood. You know, and this is just something that, as a kid, he said, I want to go out there and I want to put that jersey on and I want to, win a Stanley Cup with this team, as many young hockey fans have done with the Leafs or any of their favorite team. I myself have dreamed of that. Of course, that would never happen but like I said, he's living out a childhood dream. And I think it's pretty fair to understand that anybody who has a dream like that and it's right in front of you and all you have to do is say yes and sign on the dotted line, that's pretty hard to pass up. I know he had a huge connection to the Islanders and everything that they've done for him, drafting him first overall and growing him as a player and developing him and helping him become better and obviously naming him captain. And, you know, the Islanders, I mean, I will give one thing, they do have a very passionate fan base it is in New York, so it's obviously a great city and he obviously has a lot of connections there. So, I mean, I can understand how hard that would be for him. And I think really when it came down to it and what he said was it was pretty much between Toronto and the Islanders, like I said, coming home, gets to play in front of his family, 41 games a year. His fiance works in Toronto and he just has a ton of connections to Toronto. But like I said, the Islanders, obviously, they're not a Florida Panthers or a Arizona Coyotes. I mean, they are a pretty legitimate organization, but they're just going through, they've had some rough times, haven't made playoffs, consistently, you know, their roster needs an overhaul. They have no goaltending. You know, they have some really bad contracts. Andrew Ladd. You know, they just signed Leo Komarov back on July 1 to 4-year deal. I mean, I don't know what Lou's thinking there, but you know, they just they have some work to do, and there's been a lot of mismanagement. So, you know, and that really jumps into my next point, which is, you know, A, the Leafs roster, you know, the youth of it, and you know, his chance of success to come to Toronto. You know, if you look at the core of the Leafs, so I've broke it down and looked it up at all their ages. So, you know, we start in net, Freddie Anderson, 28 years old. You know, that's right in his prime for goaltender. You know, he's been very good ever since he's got here 2 years ago. You know, always starts out a little slow in October, but come playoff time, you know, he's been one of their best players and has been a huge reason that, you know, that they've won so many hockey games the last 2 years. Then, you know, you go to their number one D-man, Morgan Riley, 24 years old, on a great contract, and he's really, really developed under Mike Babcock, and he's turned into a really good defenseman. I wouldn't say he is a true number one. You know, I wouldn't compare him to Doughty or Erik Karlsson or anybody like that, but he's certainly a good number two. So, I mean, I really like him. And then, obviously, Austin Matthews, he's 20 years old. Mitch Marner's 21. Nylander's 22. I mean, right there, you know, those guys aren't even in their primes yet, and they're already incredible players putting up a massive amount of points. You know, so just like I said, this roster as a whole is built for success, and you know, adding him was sort of the, you know, the final piece, or one of the final pieces anyway, you know, to help put this team and lift this team into cup contender categories. You know, and then even going down the roster, I mean, you've got a guy like Patrick Marleau. Yeah, he's old, but he can still put the puck in the net. You know, you've got Kapanen, Andreas Johnsson, two young guys who are really going to get a good chance this year. There's been some roster spots opened up along the wings, and they should see a more prominent role. And obviously Nazem Kadri, too. I mean, you know, I said this before when I was talking about the chance of Tavares coming here. You know, you have Nazem Kadri as your number three center. You know, that looks really, really good. And, you know, the Leafs, without a doubt, have the best center ice in the league right now, with the addition of Tavares. So, like I said, the chance of success, you know, over his seven-year period being here, seven-year contract, you know, they're going to contend for championships. You know, he's that good, and this team is that good. You know, like I said, they I wouldn't say stumbled in the playoffs, but I mean, they've, you know, they fell short last two seasons, and you know, he's really, you know, he's going to come in and he's going to be sort of, say, one of the last pieces of the puzzle, and hopefully will, you know, elevate this team to, you know, hopefully win a round or two anyway. I mean, I don't know what your guys' expectations are, but I mean, I would love to see at least a conference finals this year. But I'll dive into that in a bit. So, like, again, so chance of success, you know, this roster, the core, you know, it's in prime and prime age, and it's, you know, this team is ready to win. You know, and another huge one, is Mike Babcock. You know, world-class coach, coached him in 2014 in Sochi. You know, he's led Team Canada to, you know, the last two Olympics that the NHL were in. You know, led them to gold medals. You know, he's a guy that Tavares is obviously familiar with through that, and you know, he's a recognizable name. So I think that was huge, and you know, him being a veteran, I think he can probably deal with Babcock's sort of stubbornness a bit better. You know, he's probably used to it a bit, and you know, I just think he, you know, Babcock was a huge reason for him to come to Toronto. You know, another thing too, And I sort of touched on it in the first, you know, first part. But, you know, the Leafs, they had something that no other team could offer. And, you know, that's living his childhood dream. You know, Dallas Stars can offer that. Islanders can offer that. Lightning can offer that, you know. And then, like I said before, when you have a chance like this, and it's only going to come around once, you know, this was his one and only chance. You know, if he wanted to be a Toronto Maple Leaf, this was the time to be a Toronto Maple Leaf. And, you know, he took that leap, and you know, I love the move. And I hope, you know, I hope he can lead this team to the promised land. You know, him and Matthews and, you know, that young core, I truly think that, you know, if the Leafs don't have a lot of success with this core and at least go to a cup final, I mean, there's, you know, it would be a massive letdown. So I'm going to take a quick break, coming back, going to discuss some of the lineup possibilities, go over who should be the Leafs captain. Should it be Riley, Matthews, John Tavares? We'll discuss. Small Town Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Small Town Sports Podcast. So first segment went over, obviously, the signing of Tavares, discussed the core, you know, the key reasons that he joined the Leafs. So what I want to talk about now, and one thing that's definitely been discussed since the signing, is who should become the captain? Who should be the next captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs? It's got a nice ring to it. And, you know, the two names, if not the three names that have really been tossed out there, obviously Austin Matthews, Morgan Riley has been one, and now that John Tavares has come, it's John Tavares. So, you know, given those three options, who should be the captain? Who's, you know, who's the best fit? Who deserves it most? You know, there's definitely a lot of factors, you know, experience being a captain, obviously Tavares, you know, would get the nod on that one. You know, him being the captain in New York for a number of years. You know, my opinion, you know, as much as, like I said, Tavares does have that experience, you know, and obviously Riley has, you know, is one of the longest tenured Leafs. And, you know, according to reports from different people that, you know, he's, you know, he's absolutely loved in the room and is definitely one of the leaders in the room, which is why he's had a letter on his sweater for the last few years. But I, you know, I think it should still be Matthews. You know, he's their franchise player. You know, he's going to be here after Tavares's contract is up. You know, he's the guy that is going to be the top factor that this team wins a Stanley Cup. So, you know, in my opinion, I think it should still be Matthews. You know, some people were, you know, are thinking, well, maybe that was part of it, you know, that Tavares coming here was okay. He's going to be guaranteed, you know, he's going to be guaranteed to be the next captain. You know, I don't think that that really would have had too big a part of it. You know, like I said, it's a huge responsibility, and even more coming home to Toronto. So, you know, I think maybe the Leafs just want Tavares just to worry about, you know, adjusting to the media, you know, all the scrutiny that comes with it from the media and the fans. So, you know, I like I said, my opinion, I think Matthews should be the next captain of the Leafs. Like I said, he's younger. You know, he's not necessarily the most talkative guy. You can tell he is a little, you know, can definitely be a bit reserved, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not like, you know, he stands up before every game and gives a big, you know, rah-rah speech. He's just sort of, you know, can be one of many voices in the room. And, you know, Mike Babcock says too that a captain should be someone who's one of your most talented players. you know, so, I mean, Matt Martin wasn't going to be the name of the captain. Leo Komarov, guys like that, Connor Brown, you know, they're never going to be named captain. You know, he likes a guy who's one of the most skilled on the team, and if Matthews isn't one of the most, isn't the most skilled, he's definitely top two or three on the team. So, like I said, I really think it should just go to Matthews. But if it does go to Tavares, you know, I certainly wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't hurt my feelings either. But like I said, it should go to Matthews. So another thing that Babcock has said after this signing, you know, some of the people were talking to him about, you know, lineups and what's, you know, where's Tavares going to fit in? You know, who's going to play alongside Tavares and Matthews, and, you know, is Babcock going to change anything? So he said, and I grabbed this from an article, he said that if the season started today, his lineup would be, and I quote, so first line would be Matthews in the center, Nylander on one side, Marleau on the other side, and then it'd be Tavares, Marner, and Hyman, and then Kadri obviously being the third line center, and you can fill in, you know, Andreas Janssen probably on one wing, and could be Brown, could be Kapanen on the other wing. And I got to say, I don't mind that, you know, given Matthews a bit of a break from Hyman. You know, I think a guy, a more experienced guy like JT could maybe help Hyman grow a bit more. You know, maybe he can help him put the puck in the net better. I don't know, because I've never seen a guy have so many grade A opportunities and not put the puck in the net as Zach Hyman does. So, and you know, have a veteran guy like Marleau on the wing with Matthews, and, you know, kind of help guide them a bit, you know, between him and Willie Nylander. You know, and the one thing Marleau has, he can still skate. For an old guy, he can still move pretty well. And, you know, Matthews and Nylander, they both can skate really well. You know, and then that's one thing about Tavares was, you know, his skating has sort of always been an issue, or certainly was when he came in the league, you know, his speed. You know, and Hyman isn't the fastest of guys either. You know, so I think that can help a bit too. And, you know, obviously Marner is a speedster. So, I mean, you know, they're going to have to sort of find a happy medium between, you know, between him and Tavares. But, I mean, looking at that, that's a pretty good top six. And like I said, if you expand on the top nine, you know, you got Kadri down the middle, you know, could have Kapanen, Andreas Janssen, whoever along the wings. But, you know, the Leafs forward group, that is a legitimate, you know, forward grouping, and certainly one of the best in the league. You know, this team is not going to have problems putting the puck in the net. You know, that hasn't been their issue last year or the year before. You know, they've always been able to score a lot of goals. It's been, you know, it's been on the back end, their defense, which kind of brings me to my next point. You know, or at least done adding guys, you know, via free agency trade. You know, I don't think making a big trade right now for a defenseman is smart. I think you need to sort of let things play out, see how the year goes, and then make that decision, you know, maybe at the trade deadline, or, you know, maybe a couple months into the year if things aren't working with somebody, you know, or if the back end really needs help and is really getting exposed, then maybe you go out and make a splash and get a defenseman. But, you know, the one thing is, and, you know, I heard after the Tavares signing, you know, I went to work, and some of you don't know, I work at a golf course, so, you know, there's obviously lots of older guys there and stuff. So I heard them talking about it, and they were, you know, complaining, saying, oh, why would they pay a guy like Tavares, you know, that when their defense is so bad, you know, they should have went out and got Erik Karlsson. And I just sort of walked by and looked at them and rolled my eyes and kept walking and was laughing at them as I was walking away. Because the one thing is, A, let's just, you know, hypothetically, okay, let's say the Leafs got Erik Karlsson. Well, you're giving up either Marner or Nylander, and then you're giving up another young roster guy, say, you know, say Kapanen, Connor Brown, you know, Andreas Janssen, you know, somebody like that. And then you're also giving up a good prospect. You know, it could be Carl, you know, Grundstrom, you know, could be one of the other young defensemen they have, you know, could be Liljegren, somebody like that. So that, that it was not going to happen. And also, I don't think the Senators would have traded to the Leafs anyway. So, you know, and the one thing about it too is, you know, in free agency, I mean, the only good option, and the only one that made sense was John Carlson, and he didn't even come close to getting free agency. And that's one thing, too. Good defensemen, top four defensemen, rarely hit free agency because they're so hard to find and they're so hard to develop, and, you know, young defensemen take a long time to develop and, you know, a long time to bring along and before they're ready. You know, look at a guy like Travis Dermott. I mean, he took 4 or 5 seasons before he finally got his shot, and, you know, he played really well for him last year for the most part. You know, and he's going to be expected to step up this year and you know, log some big minutes for them. So, like I said, you know, there are some veteran guys left in free agency, and, you know, I wouldn't mind the Leafs adding a veteran just to sort of help out a bit back there. You know, they obviously lost Roman Polak, who was one of their veterans back there. You know, but in, I'm not saying a top four guy, even just a bottom six guy, you know, to play with Dermott. I know Connor Carrick is probably penciled in there right now with Dermott, and that's, you know, I don't like that. I think they need to get a veteran guy who can play with Dermott, you know, show him the ropes and kind of help him out a bit back there. You know, who that would be, I'm not sure, but that would be really the only thing that I think they need to do. Like I said, I love this, the way this roster is. You know, obviously, yes, adding a top four defenseman would really be the cherry on top. And I think if they are able to do that at some point, you know, if they decide to give up some, you know, prospects and some draft picks for a guy, you know, that will certainly catapult them, if not already, into Stanley Cup contenders. Because, again, that is probably the only really missing piece from making them an even more dangerous team. So, again, I kind of touched on it, but, you know, my expectations for this season, like I said, I expect this team to score a lot of goals. You know, they're going to win a lot of hockey games, and they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough to play against because they are a, now, especially with Tavares, they're a matchup nightmare. Because, you know, you want to put your checking line against Matthews, that's fine. Now you got, now Tavares and Marner and Hyman are going to eat you up. Or you want to put, you know, switch that, okay, so Matthews, Nylander, and Marler are gonna eat you up. And then say you want to put, okay, you put your top defensive pairing out against Matthews, and then your checking line, your top line against Tavares, that's fine. But then you got Kadri and Janssen and whoever who are going to put the puck on that. So, like I said, this team is going to score a lot of goals. And, you know, it's really going to be, the key factor is going to be A, Frederik Andersen, his health. And as long as he doesn't have a year like Cam Talbot did this past season, the Leafs are going to be fine. And obviously the defense core, you know, they struggled at times to get the puck out of their zone. You know, hate to bash on you, but Jake Gardner, I'm talking to you. You know, they, too many turnovers in the neutral zone, you know, so that they've got to get that figured out. And like I said, and I mean, Kyle Dubas, he said that he doesn't think this defensive core is as bad as people make it out to be. You know, whether he's just blowing smoke or he legitimately believes it, you know. But also Babcock, he needs to change the way he uses this defense core, because he had Ron Hainsey playing all 2 minutes of the penalty kill every time, and also playing on the top unit with Morgan Riley. That's way too much for a guy who's 39 years old, 38, 39, whatever the hell he is. You know, and in the playoffs, it really showed that he was worn out. So Babcock's got to lighten the load on him, and he's gonna have to rely on, you know, that Zaitsev and Gardner pairing more. And I hope for everybody's sake that Gardner and Zaitsev have a bounce back year. I know Zaitsev was hurt for a lot of the season, but even when he came back, he was absolutely dog shit. So I hope that Gardner and Zaitsev can both have standout seasons and, you know, be a solid number two pairing, because I truly think that they are. I do think they are both top four guys. You know, but the problem is, again, the Leafs don't have another top two guy to play with Riley, so that's why Hainsey's up there. So, like I said, those are my expectations for the year. You know, playoffs, it's going to be tough. I mean, You know, Tampa is a very good team. Boston has a good team. You know, I personally believe Florida actually has a pretty decent team. They just had a bad year. You know, the Ottawa Senators, they suck. Buffalo, you know, yeah, they might be a bit better, but they're not going to be anything extraordinary. And obviously Montreal Canadiens are going to be an absolute tire fire, and I cannot wait to see that. You know, and Detroit, they're in the rebuilding phase too. So, I mean, there's really four teams, or, you know, three teams, including the Leafs, who, you know, are good in their division. So, that being said, I expect the Leafs to hopefully finish top two in the division. You know, certainly win a playoff round. You know, it's enough of this. Oh, well, you know, they're getting experience. They've had 2 years, lost in six games to Capitals, lost in game seven last year, obviously, to Boston. You know, it's time they start winning some hockey games in the playoffs. You know, like I said, I would love for them to make it to the conference finals, you know, to really go deep. But, I mean, even just winning a round would go a long way, and they need to get that monkey off their back first before, you know, we go any further. But, like I said, it's going to be tough because Boston and Tampa are both very good hockey teams. You know, Tampa is Tampa. I mean, they've got a lot of talent, good goaltending, good defense, good up front. And Boston is, you know, is Boston as well. They're sort of in the same boat. So, that being said, recap, John Tavares is a Toronto Maple Leaf. Oakville kid comes home. I love it. Cannot wait. Thanks for tuning in. Small Town Sports Podcast. Peace.